you have it written out. So hopefully it's somewhere along the realm of what your life was like and when Christ changed your heart and how life looks now. So go ahead.
So a little background. I grew up going to church every Sunday. I was very involved and really enjoyed the social aspect. Around age 7, I remember having the concept of going to hell or heaven brought to my mind. And I became terrified of going to hell and had learned that I must pray a prayer accepting Jesus into my heart. Then all would be well. I did that, and it wasn't all well. I was told to pray it more, again and again if needed, and believe harder. I did that here and there over the years, clinging to that prayer just enough that I could distract myself with life and more enjoyable things. Somewhere around age 15, I was baptized. A lot of other young people from my church had been getting baptized, and it was the expected thing for me to do, too. I remember hating that day, waiting in the room beforehand, trying to pray and ask God to make it meaningful somehow, but it wasn't. It was empty. Afterwards, people congratulated me, and I just wanted to leave. This was similar to the way it felt every time I participated in communion. Throughout high school and college, I read the Bible off and on consistently and tried to do what it said. I was very self-righteous without even knowing it. I knew the Bible said I could never be good enough by following enough rules or shunning enough sin, and yet that's exactly what I was trying to do. I would go through periods of despair, worrying, knowing I wasn't saved. I was definitely afraid of dying. Everyone around me always assumed I was a Christian. I grew up going to church, doing all the right things, reading my Bible, praying, and outwardly looking very put together. It was oddly very easy to blend in with those around me at church, in youth group, playing on the worship team, going to a Christian college. There were surprisingly few times I was even faced with the question, "What is your testimony?" Each time I was asked, I was gripped by fear, the fear that I didn't actually have a testimony, and the fear that the person asking would see that. I would usually mumble something out like, "Well, I grew up going to a Christian church, hearing about Jesus, believing in God and the Bible, going to college, I really made my faith my own." The summer after I graduated college, Caleb and I were married, and a few months later, my mom sent me a book by Ray Comfort titled, "God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life, The Myth of the Modern Message." This book takes a look at the throngs of people claiming Christianity and basically calls the validity of that into question, according to Scripture. It laid out everything that was concerning me about my own life. Afterwards, I was desperate. I scoured the Bible, trying to figure out how I could fix this. I remember asking in a small group we were part of at the time if you could be saved and not have the Holy Spirit, because I knew the Spirit was not indwelling me. I wasn't really finding the answers I desired. My unsaved patterns continued over the next few years. I was aware of some of my more obvious sin and tried to stop them, yet things always remained the same. I could temporarily stifle something, but it would always come back out. I always wondered why I only had sorrow towards the person I loved and had hurt and never experienced that towards God. I also worried that I didn't love Christ. It seemed like a necessary thing, but if I was being honest with myself, I knew it wasn't there for me. I didn't even truly desire heaven, other than I didn't want to go to hell. What sounded best to me at that time was a comfortable life on earth with those I loved, living life at a decently young age, and that's what I would have chosen for eternity if it was an option. Ultimately, I was living for myself. Time went on, and sometime before we had Ellie, I was over in Bettendorf for the older girl's doctor appointment, and this was where I met Dara, although we didn't share names at that time. We small-talked for a bit before we were called back, and I remember wishing that I had more time to get to know her. I told Caleb about it later and shrugged, saying, "Well, she probably lives way over in Bettendorf somewhere, and the odds of running into her again are pretty small." But it turns out God wanted us to meet again. Earlier this fall, I was doing my usual Monday morning grocery trip to Aldi's, and I saw Dara there with her crew. I decided she probably didn't remember me and would think it was super weird if I went up to her like I knew her, so I played it cool. I thought, if she comes up and remembers me, I'll go with it. Otherwise, I'll just stick to my grocery list. Praise God, she had the courage to say hi very enthusiastically, and we talked for a bit. She found out that I grocery shopped on Monday mornings, and the next week we exchanged phone numbers and set up a time to hang out. From there, I heard about this church and excitedly asked a lot of questions. I told Caleb about it, and he began researching it to see if it was somewhere that he wanted us to go. I visited with Dara another time, and then her and Tyler invited our family over for dinner. It was there I kind of spilled out that I didn't think I was saved and how worried I was about that. That started a stretch of time where I was overwhelmed with despair. Shortly after this, we started coming to church here. And I'm not a person who is prone to crying in front of others. I'm normally very reserved with my feelings and have even prided myself on keeping it together outside of in front of Caleb. However, I'm pretty sure that I've started crying in front of almost every one of you at this point. Between late December and late February, I met with Pastor a few different times. At first, I had the mindset of, I'll meet with him, I'll figure out what to do, I'll be saved, and I'll get to the other side of this. He quickly helped me see that this was me trying to save myself, which is what I had unknowingly been doing most of my life. He urged me to beg God for mercy every day, which I did for a long period of time. Once we had started coming here, we were quickly urged to go through the Behold Your God study. That became a significant tool God used for my salvation. One of the first questions I remember was, what is your draw to Christianity? Is it what Christ can do for you, save you, take away your sin, or is it Christ himself? I admitted to Caleb that it was definitely what Christ could do for me. This study also played a huge part in revealing how entirely selfish and self-focused every part of my life was, how high a view I had of myself, and how very low was my view of God. How I was reading the Bible as a book about myself, very interested in the passages telling me how to live, what to do, what not to do, and bored with the sections that specifically described God. Sometime in late February, there was an evening that I became completely overwhelmed by my sin. I started seeing the entirety of it. I always believed I was sinful, but this was the first time I really saw how every single thing I did was seeped in sin, even the good things. It was at that point that God made clear to me there was absolutely nothing I could do to get my salvation myself. I couldn't be good enough. I couldn't manipulate God into pitying me. I couldn't do it. I was utterly helpless, and my only hope was that God, in his great mercy, would save me. And he did. He gave me the grace to repent, trust in him, and place my hope in his righteousness. That morning, I remember reading My Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon, and it was exactly what I needed to read. You may break the clods, you may sow your seeds, but what can you do without the rain? As absolutely needful is the divine blessing. In vain you labor until God the plenteous sower bestows and sends salvation down. Then it is a plenteous grace. Look up today, O parched plant, and open thy leaves and flower for a heavenly watering. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Approach him and be at peace. That was what I was given as a result. I was finally at peace with God. For as long as I can remember, there was this horrible unrest, this tension and fear, and it was finally replaced with peace, and I was filled with incredible gratitude for the undeserved gift. This isn't to say that I haven't had doubts and questions since this time, but it has never been the same. Titus 3:3-7 reads, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. That defines who I was. I was enslaved by my sinful passions, so wretched and miserable and trapped. And now by his grace I am his. Not by my own filthy acts of righteousness, not by my own doing, but because of his kindness, his love of God, and his mercy. The hymn, O Great God, is one that I learned here and has meant so much to me. One of the verses in particular defines a lot of my testimony. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice. I did not know your love within, and I had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me, through the gospel of your son, gave me endless hope and peace.
Amen. Anything else you want to say?
I don't think so.
Great. I hope that, I hope that you all heard that, and some of you in here today are trying to save yourselves by doing the next right thing, doing the good thing, doing what you're supposed to do. Doing what your parents tell you to do, maybe your children, beg for mercy.
Beg for mercy because you need mercy. Can't do anything. Step on in. Grab right there. That stool's going to hold me. Right there, if you would. So, Ashley, it is my great pleasure to have been witness to God's changing your heart, meeting you as someone who was religious and trying very hard, to someone who's at peace in Christ. And because of the work that I've seen him do in you, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yep. That's what I'm saying.